Once again, we're going to head out to the SDCCU fan hotline. And if you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to you shortly. But we want to catch up with a friend by the name of AJ Cassavell. He does some incredible work for MLB.com covering our San Diego Padres. AJ, welcome to the program this morning. And one of the topics we've had is whether or not we thought San Diego could house an NBA franchise. And then I threw out, I think San Diego could house an MLS franchise. And you're a big soccer guy. What's your opinion?
I think San Diego could house either or. I think the fan base is deep enough, and the sports market is craving that enough that, yes, the answer is yes. Especially, I mean, the MLS to me is a no-brainer. I think there's a pretty good soccer culture already here. But I think either or would work.
All right. You broke the story bright and early this morning that the Padres are going to call up their former number one draft from a few years ago, right-hander Cal Quantrill, to pitch that ball game tomorrow night at SunTrust Ballpark. Tell us a little bit why this decision was made and how Quantrill's been doing.
Yeah, his stat line's a little deceiving. I think if you look at his numbers, he's got kind of a high 4 ERA. He's been a lot better since his first start, which was a rough one. You go back to the end of spring training, he was lit up in that last game of the Cactus League, which kind of had a chance to make the opening day rotation, and then he was lit up again in his first start for El Paso. Since then, he's allowed, I think, two runs, one run, and two runs, and they're all like 5 or 6 inning starts. So he's been really good in a big-time hitter's environment. So he's been really good since then. So I wouldn't read too much into the stat line. He's been much better than that indicates. The reasoning behind the move makes a lot of sense. It's kind of what they've been doing all season with Matt Strom and Chris Paddock. They've been trying to monitor their workload, and they've been doing so essentially by saying, hey, like we need you healthy later in the year, so we're going to give you 5 days rest between starts at the beginning of the year. If that means calling up a guy or going with a bullpen day, that's what we're going to do. It just so happens that it's Cal Quantrill who gets called up this time to kind of slot in there and push everyone back by a start.
You know, we were talking earlier on the program. I know people don't like it here, and I'm sure if Randy Jones is driving right now, hopefully he's buckled up and drives safely. But, you know, in the day when you used to go with 4-man rotations, now you're at 5-man rotations, this would pretty much make it a 6-man rotation, at least for this round. And, you know, depending on off days, I know the Padres have to play a lot of games in succession after having 2 off days last week. The day of the 6-man rotation is coming because that's the way they do it in Japan.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see what happens when we go to 26-man rosters if that extra spot essentially goes to a starting piece. I don't think this case is not so clearly a 6-man rotation. What this case is you have one starter in there who's pitched in the bullpen for the last season and a half and who's coming off knee surgery, and you have another starter in there who's 23 and had Tommy John surgery a couple years ago and only pitched 90 innings. You have to limit their innings somehow. This is how the Padres are choosing to do it. It's a 6-man rotation. I honestly don't know if it could be the same thing we saw with Pedro Avila. He could come up, make one start, and then get sent back down. Maybe if he impresses, he could stick around for another turn through because the Padres have so many games in a row here. That remains to be seen. But, I think ultimately a 6-man rotation might be coming, but teams are also best served to pitch their best pitchers often. And that could mean kind of tilting back and forth between 5 and 6 based on the off days you get. Because remember, there are more off days now than there were a couple seasons ago because they started the season earlier. So that does provide some cover for giving these starters a little bit of extra room.
Well, if you look at all these starters, you know, either Margavichus, Lucchesi, Lauer, Paddock, Strom, to me it seems like all of those guys are probably going to be on some kind of innings limit.
It's the youngest rotation in baseball, and that's what happens when you have guys who move so quickly through the minor leagues. Usually organizations spend their time in the minor leagues building guys up, and it's not just about development. Development's extremely important, but on the pitching side of things, it's about building them up and getting them ready for the grind of a major league season. And to be frank, like, none of these guys were when they got to the major leagues. None of these guys were ready for the grind of a major league season because they hadn't pitched in the minor leagues for long enough. And so the Padres are kind of facing that conundrum right now. I think with Lauer and Lucchesi, it's a little different. They're going to be watched. But they kind of they can pitch as many innings as they can pitch. I don't think there's going to be much. There's no maneuvering to make sure they miss a start or two. Whereas with Paddock and Strom, I think there clearly is, and perhaps with Margavichus.
Margavichus, to me, I love watching this guy pitch, and I know he's been a little bit up and down with his control and spotting his fastball here and there, but, man, this guy's been a breath of fresh air. He's been pretty impressive overall.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even say he's that far off with his control. I mean, I know he has a lot of walks, but the walks, even the walks seem to come in spots where they don't kill you, you know? So I would never condone walking guys, and I know he hates the high walk totals, but he doesn't give hitters anything to hit, anything they can handle. Even the mistakes that he makes, I wouldn't even call them mistakes. The pitch that Albies hit out last night was probably 3 or 4 inches below the strike zone. So he's fun to watch because he works quickly and he does it in a different way than what we're used to seeing, but he gets it done and he does it by kind of being pretty guileful and having a four-pitch mix that he can keep hitters off balance with and using that mix in the right spots. He hits every corner, it seems. And again, the walks, he had 5 walks in his last start against Seattle. That's too many. He'll admit that. But the walks last night, they could have come back to bite him in the 6th inning, but when you're facing some really good hitters and your stuff is what it is for Nick Margavichus and they're laying off some tough pitches right on the borderline, it's probably not the end of the world if you're going to do that versus grooving a meatball that a guy hits 450 feet.
We're visiting with A.J. Cassavell from Atlanta on our SDCCU fan hotline. All right, give us what you know right now on Fernando Tatis Jr. I'm sure Andy will meet with you and the other scribes coming up later today to give everyone an update. But what do you know right now? Because it seems like he's probably day-to-day right now.
I think that's the most accurate thing to say right now. It's hard to tell because they still haven't made any roster moves, and I don't expect one, but that could change. That said, I think Fernando Tatis is pretty sore. He's the kind of player, I think there's certain guys where when they get hurt, you just say, oh, we'll send him on the 10-day DL right away. But with a guy like Fernando Tatis who can really impact or change a game, If he's going to miss 5 days and he's going to take out a roster spot for 5 days, well, it's worth having him for the next 5 days. That being said, they're going to handle him with all the care they need to. He's a 20-year-old top prospect. They're not going to rush him back into the lineup. But if this is going to take an extra day or two for them to figure out just the extent of the severity, they might not make that roster move right away. I think we will learn more later today. But if I had to guess, I'd say he's out maybe another couple days, and then he's back in the lineup.
AJ, how long the Padres going to stay with Ian Kinsler? He's hitting 134, really scuffling at the plate. He's still playing, you know, real good defense. I know they've got him on a 2-year, $8 million deal, but, man, he's given him zero offensively.
Yeah, the Padres just haven't gotten enough production at second base this year, and they've got to figure something out. And I know everyone's clamoring for Ty France at second, but that's a big-time ask of a guy who's never played second until 2 weeks ago in his entire baseball life. So when do they give up on Ian Kinsler? I don't know the answer to that, but what I do think is they have to start limiting his opportunities because that hole in the lineup is really hurting them offensively. And I think one of the solutions right now, if Tatis is going to be out for a day or two, would be Machado at short, France at third, and then maybe Greg Garcia at second against right-handed pitching. Garcia, for his defensive struggles yesterday, has been putting together some pretty nice at-bats, and I think that's a reasonable solution. And I don't think Ian Kinsler is going to be the regular second baseman for much longer. I don't even know if he is now. I think they might already be limiting his at-bats and trying to find the right spots to use him rather than just throwing him out there every day. So I think that if I had to guess, it changes relatively soon because the Padres just aren't getting enough production at second base. I think their batting average there is the worst in the major leagues, and their on base and slugging are toward the bottom too.
I'll be the first to admit I was surprised last night at the defensive set. I thought France would get a start at third base last night, slide Manny over to short, and give Greg Garcia the opportunity to play second base. And last night, you know, Greg had his problem. I don't know what happened. Did he say what happened on that throw from Hosmer? Because, I mean, he just didn't see it, or I don't know what happened.
Yeah, to his credit, he took full responsibility afterward. He said that play can't happen in the big leagues. Essentially what happened was Hosmer charges the bunt quicker than Garcia was ready for, expected, and he expected the play to be at first base, so that's where he was. That's where his attention had already shifted, and he was kind of trying to orchestrate the diamond based on that, and all of a sudden the throw sails past him. So he was pretty bummed about it after the game, said he would lose some sleep over it. It was not a good baseball play. Honestly, I was pretty impressed with the way Mark Gavichus bounced back against the tricky part of the Braves lineup after a play like that, because it was ugly. But I think a lot of people were surprised about, back to your point about the lineup, I think a lot of people were surprised about that. And I would be surprised if that weren't the case today. I think the Padres may have liked a matchup yesterday, or perhaps the idea of having France off the bench yesterday in a pinch hit spot. But I would be surprised if it's not Machado at short. Assuming Tatis isn't back right now, which I don't think he will be, Machado at short, France at third, and Greg Garcia at second.
AJ Cassavale, our guest. I'm going to let you get out of here on this one. I was reading the numbers on Luis Urias now that he's gone down to a triple A, and I didn't look at the box score this morning at 3:30 when I got up, but he hit 5 homers 2 games over the weekend. He's got 6 homers since he's been set down. Those numbers are one thing. Doing it at the big league level is another, and he looked completely overmatched for me. 2 for 24, but 11 strikeouts, was fouling pitches off. He ought to be putting in play up the middle, probably. He was late on the fastball. What are the Padres saying about him? You're not going to give up on a 21-year-old kid, but when do you think we may see him back? Could it be a week? Could it be 2 days? Could it be a month?
They keep saying they're looking at things other than the numbers, and so to me that indicates that the fact that he's raking like he is at AAA doesn't mean all that much. Of course it means something. You want guys to get results. But he's put up results in the past at AAA, and then he's come up to the big leagues and struggled. And so they say they're looking at timing. I think there's something specific in his swing that they want him to work out. They don't want to broadcast what that is because they don't want other teams to know it. But the way things look right now, the last time Luis Urias was up, it was clear he needed to fix something to be successful in the big leagues. And so I'll say this. A lot of people are clamoring for him to arrive as soon as possible. It's risky. It's risky if you call Luis Urias up again so quickly and he struggles again in the same manner he did at the start of the season. Now, all of a sudden, I don't want to go too deeply into a guy's bruised confidence, but if you're shuttling him back and forth and back and forth, that's not good on a 21-year-old development. So I think the Padres really need to get this one right. They really need to call up Urias when he's ready, whenever that may be. That's up to the talent evaluators. That's up to the front office. He's looked really good recently. Maybe he's got that timing down within the last week. But I think they still have all the confidence in the world in him. It's hard to live up to the standards set by Fernando Tatis. It's easy to forget that baseball is a really hard game, and for a 21-year-old, it's really, really, really difficult to make that transition.
AJ, great stuff as always, and thanks for dialing us in on that Cal Quantrill story bright and early this morning.
Yeah, anytime, Coach. Thanks for having me.
Be well. Safe travels, my friend. There you go. AJ Cassavale, MLB.com, joining us on the SDCCU fan hotline. You can nominate SDCCU Best Credit Union in the Union Tribune Reader's Poll daily at SDCCU.com/nominate. San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It's better.